And we take a little break from it now, doing a little series once a month, and take a break and look at something I'm calling God's Providence in American History and the miracles of God in American history. And just to define that, providence, God's providence is sometimes referred to as God watching over his creation with wisdom and care, and even sometimes intervening in events. I want to look this morning at as a history nerd, I love this story. Some historians have called it the most important day in American history. And you'll see what I mean here in just a minute. I want to read to you just quickly a quote from a fundamental historian that is respected, very respected in our circles. And he said this. He said, "Christians need to remember that God is intervening and ordering the affairs of men and nations for his benevolent purpose. To the believer, the amazing coincidences of history are but a manifestation of God's divine intervention for his omniscient, benevolent purposes." And that's a great quote to remember as you think about God working in this instance in American history. But the date is 1588. And you might say, American history? Hold on, I'll see if you agree or not. But if you remember, last month we studied Columbus. And that was 1492, Columbus sailed the blue. Okay, all right, so 1492. And this is some 90 years later. Last week, actually, we looked at, in Baptist history, some great persecution in Spain and those areas by a king named Charles V. Charles V is a hater of Anabaptists and just terrible persecution during his reign. His son now is in charge of Spain. He is the king of Spain. His name is Philip II. And everything had changed in Europe. You remember we talked about almost a great depression had settled over Europe. I mean, physically and spiritually and mentally, Europe was in terrible condition in the 1300s and 1400s. The plagues had killed a large portion of the population, just on and on. And what Columbus did in the late 1400s and early 1500s literally changed the world. And for Europe, everything changed. Riches had been brought to Europe, especially Spain. The Protestant Reformation had brought true Christianity to many countries that had originally been Catholic. And one of those countries, of course, Spain is a Catholic country, as is much of Europe, of course. England had embraced Protestantism. And it wasn't perfect. We have studied that. But they had truly embraced Protestantism, especially under Elizabeth I. So we have two rulers. We have Philip II in Spain, and really maybe the most powerful man in the world this time. He controlled much of Europe. Catholic monarch, I would say an ultra-Catholic monarch, just big allegiances to the Pope. And he had one adversary, and that was Elizabeth I, the Queen of England. That's her on the other side of the picture. And he hated her for a number of reasons. One was he had proposed marriage to her and she had turned him down. So everything went downhill from there. Secondly, though, she was supporting a Protestant rebellion in the Netherlands that Philip controlled. She had her cousin, Mary, who was a devout Catholic and had ruled as a Catholic monarch. She had her killed. And Philip, had had enough. And he just devised this plan that he was going to put together an army on ships, and he was going to invade England. And the plan was that he would build what ended up being the largest fleet of warships the world had ever seen, 130 ships and 30,000 soldiers. And the plan was he was going to sail up under England to the Netherlands. He was going to pick up another 30,000 soldiers, and then they were going to turn, and they were going to invade England. Now, Philip was rich, but he wasn't that rich. And so he had to go to the Pope, and he asked the Pope for more money because he said, I can repay you easily because we will obviously win this war, and after we plunder England, I'll have plenty of money to pay you back. So the Pope is thrilled with this idea. Let's make England Catholic again. I think they had red hats that said, make England Catholic again. So they were going this perfect plan, and So Philip put together, with the Pope's help, this the largest fleet of warships the world had ever seen, and sailed to England. The Armada, as he called it, sailed north, The English had an extensive spy network in across Europe. They knew that Spain was coming. We can't even imagine how daunting that was as Spain came to destroy England. And panic spread through the empire. Churches were filled, the entire nation begging God for help. Queen Elizabeth was strong. She encouraged the people and her generals and her admirals. And so the entire fleet sailed, and I'm going to have a map here. I don't know if this will help you or not, and I hope this is a help to you. I'm not going to be able to find. All right, so the ships are sailing out of Lisbon, out of Spain and Portugal here, and they're sailing up. They're going to sail underneath England, and they're going to go to the Netherlands, which Philip controlled, and pick up another 30,000 soldiers, and then they're going to turn and invade England. So the ships stopped here in Calais, France, to anchor and to rest. While they were there, the British knew they were coming, and the British had a great idea. They set 8 of their ships on fire, and they sailed those ships into the ports where the Spanish ships were stationed. And that was dramatic, but it didn't do much damage. It did some damage, sunk a few ships. The Spanish ships, though, did panic, and they cut their anchors, and they sailed out into the English Channel. Now, out in the English Channel, right here, the British ships were waiting for them, and they turned on them and fired on them. A lot of drama there, but not a lot of ships sank, but there were some. And the Spanish ships then, their way was blocked. Now they can't get back to Spain that way. So they turn and they sail all the way around England to over here on the other side of Ireland to regroup and hopefully get their armies together. They can invade from that angle. So this now is July 28, 1588. And this is what many historians call the greatest or the most important day in American history. When these ships gathered in the Atlantic coast off of Scotland and Ireland, a most amazing thing happened. God sent a storm to the exact spot where those Spanish ships were gathering. And at the end of that storm, over 60 ships and 15,000 men were at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. God destroyed the Spanish fleet right there. The what was left of the Spanish fleet, about 60 ships, limped back to Spain. Spain never again challenged England. In fact, I don't think Spain ever again challenged anybody. It was finished as a great power. God had intervened and destroyed that army. The storm became known, and maybe this is one of the reasons that I enjoy this story so much, is because the world had to acknowledge, and the world acknowledges, that God stepped in here and did this. The storm came known as the Protestant Wind. Everyone, including Spain, acknowledged that God had credited God, I guess, with the destruction. England even minted coins, and I wanted to show you a couple of them. England and Netherlands minted coins, and you can see here there's the ships being destroyed here in this coin. What's interesting to me on this coin, though, and many of the coins, is on the reverse side of the coin. Look at what you see there. The nation on its knees praying. They acknowledged that they had begged God for mercy and help, and God had intervened. I think it's a wonderful picture of what God does. And England would become the ruler of the Atlantic and become the greatest empire on earth after this great victory. So why do historians call this the most important day in American history? I want you to think about a few things. Think maybe some things that would not have happened if Spain had been successful. Remember, Spain ruled the ocean at that point. If the Armada had won and England would have become a part of the Spanish Empire, Spain would have colonized the eastern United States, and Spain would have ruled America as it did in South America. There would be no 13 colonies. There would be no 13 United States. And America as we know it would not exist. We would be a Catholic nation at the very best, and it would not be the America we know it. Without the United States, there would be no Declaration of Independence. There would be no Constitution, no Bill of Rights, no concept of religious freedom and individual rights and liberties. These ideas changed the world forever. And there would have been none of that. The defeat of the Spanish Armada made America possible. England was now the lone ruler of the seas, and actually, 32 years later, a group of dissenters that were tired of the discrimination and the battles they faced religiously would sail across the Atlantic, and they would sail to Massachusetts to worship God without persecution. That would have been impossible 32 years later, earlier. And God is about to work another set of miracles, and we'll look at that amazing story next time. So I want to think back about this quote just for a minute that I read you the very first. It says, the amazing coincidences of history are but a manifestation of God's divine intervention for his omniscient and benevolent purposes. I want to thank the Lord this morning for what he did on in July 28th of 1588, and just a wonderful story. I hope that gives you, I know people sometimes tire or are bored with history, but as one man said in the title of his book was, it's more than dates and dead people. The stories are amazing, and especially as a Christian when we can see God intervening for his purposes. So we thank the Lord this morning for his wonderful work and his intervention in our lives.